This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa ala kulli man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna 'ilma. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وبعد. Respected brothers and also sisters listening, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It's an honor and a privilege, alhamdulillah, to be here in your beautiful town, city, I don't know what Slough is, or a village, no. Once again, I've been here many times before, but it's been a long time. I think before, when was this masjid initiated? So many, many years before, I just met a brother. As I was coming out of the car, he said, I hosted you in one of the masjids here 20 years ago. In Slough, one of the other masjids. I gave a talk. And then he said to me that you look the same as you looked 20 years ago. So it's, alhamdulillah, it's a privilege, honor to be here. I would like to thank the organizers, the imams of the masjid, the responsible people, and also all of you for taking out your precious, but inshallah, beneficial time, hopefully, for the next hour or so. We have a very, very important topic that I want to talk about, and you must have seen the poster, the flyer, the title, the heading of the topic, which is a very, very important topic and requires a very thorough, deep understanding, focus. I know it's warm, but we're going to talk about the aql, but we need the aql of the people to understand the aql. So, a lot of focus, inshallah ta'ala. The heading, title, and you have the flyer somewhere. You have the flyer, you give them out, the posters. Traditional Islam versus modernism. What is this title about? Is there a clash between traditional Islam? What is first and foremost? What is traditional Islam? What is traditional Islam and what is modernism? And is there a clash between the two? Is there a conflict? Does traditional Islam go against modernity and modernism and modern things that we find? And what's the definition of modernism? And this is what we need to understand. If you look at the word traditional Islam, the word in English, we say traditional. Traditional means it's a tradition, something that's been ongoing, classical, old, qadim. Something that started 1445 years ago, in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are in the year 1444, right now. Muharram is the month, if you forget. What's the date today?
29.
What's the date of Muharram?
29.
29. Yes. Or maybe, I don't know, it could be one day difference, the date, wherever you are. So the teachings that came and that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 1445 years ago, those teachings in the form of wahi, revelation, through the Quran and through the Sunnah, because remember, we have both of them are through revelation. This is why Quran is called wahi matlu, from the word tilawah. It is the recited wahi. In salah, the imam recited Quran. So it's a recited wahi. Hadith and sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also considered to be wahi, but it's wahi ghayr matlu, non-recited. Which means we do read it, but it's not recited in salah. The imam couldn't start the salah and say, Allahu Akbar, innama al-a'malu bin niyat, wa innama li kulli imrin ma nawa. You have to read the Quran. But both of them are wahi revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the teachings that were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of the Quran and Sunnah through wahi revelation, classically, traditionally, which is for all of times until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Because we have to remember, when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending some guidelines, some rules, some regulations, some injunctions, some teachings, some guidance for humanity, for mankind, Allah is not like us, a'udhu billah. Allah is alimul ghayb. There's no past, present, future for Allah. All these past, present, future, and yesterday, and tomorrow, and the next day, and when I'm old, and in back in the day, and in, you know, in 80 years time, this is all for us. For Allah, everything is one. There is no era. There is no madi, hal, mustaqbil, past, present, future for Allah. Allah is seeing everything. So when Allah is sending guidance, it is until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah saw today as well. Allah knew about the situation we will be when we'll have the mobile phone and the internet and all the different modern things. So this is what we call traditional Islam. The guidance given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the laws, the rules, the regulations, the injunctions, the teachings sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through revelation, wahi, onto His beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That's the meaning of traditional Islam. And modernism is basically something which people bring new as opposed to old. So something today modern might become old after 40 years. When the car first came into the world, that was modernism in that era. Have you researched when the car, which year the car was manufactured and came into existence? Anyone? 120 years ago, around World War time, just before that, before the Second World War. The plane, when did the plane come into existence? So that was modernism. New ideas, new thoughts, new theories, new concepts, technology. Remember, we used to live in a time, we have to tell our younger people, I tell my son, who's 13 years old, that we lived in a time when we never used to have this. They can't imagine, you know, soon we will have human species that will think, oh, back in the day people actually lived without a smartphone, back in the dark ages. You know, I take my son sometimes to a telephone box. Do you have those old red ones here? This is what we used to use. If I got stuck or somewhere, I had to go in there and take a 10p coin and put it in and phone home. I'm stuck in the middle somewhere. I've walked. Please come and pick me up. My car's broken down. It's not phone. There's no phone in the hand. We've actually, in our lifetime, many of us, we lived, I mean, my youth was, we never had the internet. Many of you, I can see faces, we had no internet in our life. We have experienced two revolutions in our life. Some people in their life, if you experience one revolution, that's a massive thing. We've experienced two revolutions. The first revolution, massive revolution, was the advent of the internet around 1995, 97, and properly towards the end of the 1900s, you know, 2001, 2002. That's when really, I remember I made my first email when I was studying in Syria back in the day in 2001. There used to be internet cafes, and just about understood, oh, there's a new thing called, you go onto your computer. Because before that, you know, just computers were being used just to type. Before that was typewriters. Does anybody use typewriters anymore? And the fax machine. I'm sure the fax machines have gone completely out of existence. Life is moving fast. So that was the first revolution. And then the second, the smartphone. Around 2000, I don't know, 7, 8. I remember I used to have that small Nokia phone. Brick, massive brick, then the small, first I bought a small Nokia phone. And I have a habit, I don't know if it's a good habit or a bad habit, I always do something late. When everyone's gone to it for a year, then everyone was on iPhone and whatever, and I just carried on. When for a year, 2 years, people are using it, then I bought my first iPhone. When people are on iPhone 4, I'll go into 3. When they go into 5, then I'll go into 4. I just like to be 1 year behind in modern technology. It's just, if there's any problems, let them separate, and then I'll see the problems. So, this is the second revolution. So basically, modernism is all of this new technology, modern theories, ideas. Is there a conflict between traditional teachings and Islamic teachings, which was sent 44 years ago, to modern times, whenever that era is? Is there a clash? And that's the question, and that's what we need to answer. Modernism is basically the desire to bring new things into the world. And Islam doesn't go against modernism. This is natural, it's a fitrah. Without modernism, without the desire, without the want and the desire of the human being to manufacture new and new things and research new things, this led us to move from stones to atomic bombs. This led us from camels and horses to planes and cars. This led us to lamps and candles to top level lights. This is the result of the human desire for modernism. And therefore, Islam does not go, in essence, against this desire to create, to be innovative, to modernism in general. In itself, modernism is not a bad or a good thing. It's not good because it's modernist. Well, it could be good. Rather, Islam acknowledges it. If you look in the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even in that time, in the Ghazwa of Khandaq, when the Messenger, Khandaq means the trench, never in warfare they used that tactic. That was the first time. It was upon the recommendation of Salman al-Farsi or some companions, radiallahu anhum. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent some companions to other countries to learn their languages, not just to learn their languages, but to learn certain warfare tactics and also, you know, certain things, how to combat. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in the hadith of Bukhari, he actually praised the first military expedition that will go on the sea like they are on thrones, like kings are on thrones. Because in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was virtually impossible for anyone to get to the sea. And he actually predicted this. The long hadith in Bukhari, there's no time for it, but the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once reclining, resting, sleeping, and then he had a smile on his face. And when he woke up, when he was asked that what made him smile, he said, "I saw, Allah made me see people of my ummah on the ship or on boats on a military expedition." And that time it was unheard of. And this came, this particular prediction or the forecast of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into existence in the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu when he was a khalifa. Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was the first commander upon the instruction of Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu anhu, who took his army and the Muslims. They went on a military expedition by sea, and this is where they went into Cyprus. If you've been to Cyprus, I was in Cyprus 2-3 years ago. Cyprus is part of Europe. That's the first place that Islam entered in Europe, was Cyprus. This is where Islam came into Europe, through Cyprus. And that was through Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. We actually went to a place, there were graves of certain Sahaba radiallahu anhu who were buried and martyred and were shaheed in Cyprus. There is a female companion, Ummu Haram bint Milhan radiallahu anha, who was the one who asked the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her that this will happen, and she went, she said to the Messenger of Allah, "Make dua for me that Allah make me part of this," because there was a lot of fadila for them. I don't have time for this, but this is just on the side. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, you will be of them." And she was of them, and she passed away, and she's buried there. And they've actually built a small masjid next to where she is buried, and we went there as well. In Cyprus. So anyway, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged modernism to an extent. So it's not something bad just because it's good. Sometimes, you know, some of us, we have this thing in our head, anything new, this is psychological, anything new, we just want to reject it because it's new. Yeah, you might say, I'm the same as well, anything new, I'm going 1 year late. It's not because it's bad, it's just, but this is what happens sometimes, that people sometimes just feel negative towards anything new just because it is new. And this is not the teachings of Islam. Islam doesn't go against innovation. I'm not talking about the Islamic innovation. Innovation in the world. Anything new, modern, technology. Islam encourages technology. If you look at our history, the greatest scientists and all other fields, they were Muslims. They introduced new things into the world. Technology and many, many of our great people and classically. So Islam doesn't discourage or go against modernity or modernism or technology or progression. That's, you have to have progression. Some of them used to say that man, whoever's 2 days are similar, فَهُوَ مَغْبُون. مَنْ اِسْتَوَى يَوْمَهُ فَهُوَ مَغْبُون. If your every 2 days are equal, you haven't progressed the next day in your life, you are in loss. Humans mentally, psychologically, through their knowledge, through their thought, we progress. So Islam doesn't go against modernism per se. But there's a big question here. Islam encourages it, like I said. But this modernism and this desire to manufacture and create things brought a lot of convenience to humanity. At the same time, this modernism is a double-edged sword. On one hand, it brought a lot of good and benefit to humanity. But on the other hand, this same modernism brought destruction to the earth, caused chaos and anarchy, went against basic moral human, ethics, made human beings go into the lines of animals. Because everything is new, modern, we want. There are many, many examples for this. On one hand, it gave benefit to humanity. On the other hand, it caused destruction to humanity. So what type of modernism is good? What's the criteria? That's the question, and that's what I want to answer. Because modernism, it's not good or bad in itself. It depends what type of modernism. Some people might say modernism is basically, life has moved, people have changed. Back in the day, people didn't understand the role of men and women. Today, the role of men and women has changed. Modernism, sexuality, people think, back in the day, didn't understand gender roles. Back in the day, it was the dark ages. Now, modernism is, a small child, 5 years old. Let him choose if he wants to be a boy or a girl, or a transsexual or a transvestite or whatever. This is modernism. All sorts of things. And I will give you some of these examples. Time is very short. SubhanAllah. This is a very important topic. I want to talk about all of these issues, really. I mean, this was like an introduction, to be honest. So it brought a lot of destruction to humanity. Basic moral ethics. Human beings became like animals. People, the great pharaohs came because of modernism. They thought this is their progression. They want to just go progress, and they think they're God. Kill everybody and everyone. The atomic bomb was modernism, but it killed millions and millions of people in Japan and whatever, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It's modernism. So modernism can bring bad evil in the world as well. It can also bring positivity. So how do we define what is good modernism and what is bad modernism? Now there's only two ways. What is the criteria? There's only two ways. One way, one method, which is now in majority of the non-Muslims, and this is what's the criteria. The criteria is reason and aql, the brain. When a person or a society or a community is devoid of divine revelation, of guidance, then the criteria for everything on planet Earth becomes aql. You know this aql inside this brain? You want to call it reason, intelligence, or probably not even intelligence today, it's ignorance. Half the people have mental health issues. Aql is considered to be the criteria for every good or bad thing today. And today, aql, people have given the reason, human reason, so much importance that aql has become divine. It is the God. You know the people who say we don't believe in God? Atheism. They do believe in God. Who is the God? Each person, each atheist is a God himself. Pharaoh used to say, "Ana Rabbukum al-A'la," I am God, which means what? What I think is correct is correct. What I think is bad, whether it makes sense to you or not, it makes sense to me. If I think this is right, this is right. No right for you to question. If I think it should be like this, it has to be like this. Sense is only in my sense. Sense is only in my sense. And this is what atheism has done. This is what modernism has done to a lot of people. Because everything is based on aql, which is created by God. Human reason, human aql, sense, rationalism. I don't know even if it's rational, but we say rationalism. And this has always been, classically as well. In the earlier times we had Mu'tazila, there was a group called Mu'tazila. You might have heard of Mu'tazila. Where they used to prefer their intellect. Remember, you know when we say they used to prefer aql, not aql, their aql. Because, you know, people think aql is qat'i, there's only one reason. Right now in this room there are, how many people there are? About 100 people? There are 100 aqls, 100 reasons. As many human beings, as many difference of opinions. It's not divine, there is not one aql. The Mu'tazila, they thought that their aql was the best aql. Their reason is the best reason, it makes sense. There's different types of people classically that came into existence in the name of modernism, because the whole criteria for everything was aql, reasoning. They thought wisdom is in what they think. Whereas the Quran said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. It is Allah who sent the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prophet. What are the roles and the job description of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. He recites the book, he teaches you how to read the Quran. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ. With the recitation of the book, he teaches you the meanings of the book, which means he teaches you Islam. Everything. يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ includes all Islamic knowledge. And also he teaches you يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْحِكْمَةِ. He teaches you wisdom. Hikmah means what? Wisdom. This ayah is indicating that wisdom is not what you think in your brain is wisdom. Intelligence is not what you, humanity, think is intelligence. Reason is not what you as human beings think is reason. Reason is that which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it's reason. Whether it goes against your reason or it conforms to your reason. You might have a reasonable brain that might understand his reason. But if you don't, then عَلَى الرَّأْسِ وَالْعَيْنِ أَمَنَّا وَصَدَّقْنَا. This is Iman. This is Islam, submission. Islam means submission. Doesn't have to make sense. As long as it is clearly, categorically in the Quran and Sunnah. We're talking about the mainstream Islamic laws and rules which are sent through revelation. Whether it makes sense or not. If it doesn't make sense, the rule is not senseless. We are senseless. There's a problem in my aql. There's a problem in our aql. There's a problem in our reason, not in the reasoning. It makes sense to a lot of other people. There was this one Sheikh Muhammad Awama, Hafidhullah, who's a Syrian scholar, lives in Turkey right now. Once somebody asked him, if there's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, which is absolutely authentic, Sahih, and it goes against logic, goes against reason, what do? Do you reject the hadith, or do you reject the what makes sense? He said, if a hadith goes against what? Said against logic and reason. So he asked the questioner, he said, against whose reason? When the hadith goes against whose logic? You're saying reason as though it's only one reason. It might go against your reason, but it might not go against my reason. There, as I said, there's as many human beings, as many reasons. Against whose reason? Human aql is not divine, it's not God. Allah created it, and this is the greatest problem of the current time. Because we have made aql unlimited, we've given it unlimited jurisdiction. Allah gave three sources of knowledge. The first was wahi, the first was senses, you know, certain things we know through our senses. Right now I can see this is black with my eyes. There are certain things I learned with my aql. But just like my aql is, my sense is limited. Right now I can see in this room, but I can't see what's beyond this room. It's limited. I can't see with my eyes what's happening right now in Japan or America. I can't smell something which is beyond here. I can't feel more than what I'm feeling right now. The senses are limited. The next step of knowledge or source of knowledge is aql. But just like our senses are limited, aql is also limited. So aql will give us technology, will give us lots of beneficial things. You see, this is another extreme. Islam is not saying that just wrap your aql and put it away and put it in a coffin and bury it and pray janazah on your aql. Islam is not saying we are aql-less people, we should be aql-less people like madmen. That's it. Islam is not saying that. Islam is saying no, aql and naql. Naql means traditional reason, traditionally transmitted knowledge. Both come in hand, but preference is given to naql. Preference is given to divine guidance. You use your aql to understand that. You need this. You need both. You know, when somebody wants to see, what do we need? We need eyesight and we need the sunlight. Right now, there's light, sunlight in the world, but if I close my eyes, I can't see. And if there's darkness off the lights, there's no sunlight, and my eyes are open, I can't see. Sharia tuka shams. Sharia, Quran, Sunnah is like sunlight. Aql is like our eyes. You can't see fully except with both. We had these two extremes. Some people also went, like I said, the Mu'tazila that we'll be talking about, went to the extreme of rationalism. Everything that makes sense to their aql, then they will accept. If it doesn't make sense, put away the Quran and Sunnah. That was rational, excessive rationalism. But there were other people also who went to excessive literalism, as though Allah told us to take our aql and put it in a coffin and that's it. Like, don't use the aql at all. So this was also something that happened. So you have to use aql, of course. Allah is not telling us to be aql-less people. But with balance, don't make aql the god. Don't make it the criteria for everything. And because this is what's happened today, what aql does basically, when we make aql the sole criterion, we think that it's making sense, but we don't know. The way the human fitrah is, aql is connected directly with what? With our desires, with the nafs. Aql becomes the servant of, subservient to, or in Urdu, gulam of your sexual, your desires. Hawa. And this is what Islam is saying, that look, aql will ultimately, reason will ultimately become the slave of something. Either you make it the slave of divine revelation of God, or you make it the slave of your desires. And that aql, which is the servant of, the slave of human desire, In the Quran, Allah terms it as hawa. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَى. This is what I took this out from. Have you not seen the one who has made his hawa his God? This is where we take this out from. Have you not seen the one who's taken his aql as God? Because aql he does. Aql is that, hawa is that aql which does everything what it feels like doing. If I think sex outside of marriage is my desires, yeah, I will justify it. I'll give all the proofs for it. If I think homosexuality is something that should be okay, I'll give all the proofs for it. If I say sex change and gender change makes sense, we'll justify it. They will. You see, when you give aql the sole jurisdiction, then everything in the world will be justified. What's a sin? What's a crime? You know, they distinguish between sin and crime. You know, if you read the Encyclopedia of Britannica, you know, go and check it out. When they are defining an atomic bomb, the definition, or when they are defining it and explaining what an atomic bomb is, they talked about its destructions later on. He talks about it a bit later on, but right in the beginning, the quote of the former UK Prime Minister is used to explain and define what an atomic bomb is. An atomic bomb is that which the former Prime Minister Winston Churchill said saved the lives of 100,000 US soldiers in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and 250,000 soldiers' lives were saved, British soldiers were saved in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. What positivity. When anyone thinks about Hiroshima, you know, I'm sure you know about Hiroshima and Nagasaki, like, humanity is in shame till today. But even from that, you can take positivity. They take positivity out. They talked about the destructions and, you know, the millions of lives and how people died afterwards, but 100,000 US soldiers and 250,000 British soldiers, their lives were saved because the Western forces, the Allied forces, they used atomic bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That was the positivity. Everything is justified in the name of aql today. Because aql is given, we will find logical explanations for everything. Everything, which, whether it's an inhumane act, whether it's a despicable, unethical, immoral, filthy, dirty act, something people used to think evil back in the day, today it's now in the name of modernism. This is modern. We need to move with the times. You know, this was been back in the day, these things used to happen. You know, many hundred years ago, there was a group called the Batiniyah, also known as the Qaramita. They came into existence. It's written in the books, in Arabic books. They had a leader who actually wrote this in Arabic. They were like an offshoot of the Mu'tazila. Everything is based on the aql and reason. So he's got a whole this concept and theory, and he says, look, it just doesn't make sense to me. And it doesn't make sense to us that a young man who lives in a family, he leaves when he wants to get married, he leaves a sister at home that understands him. There's a lot of compatibility between him and his sister. Sorry, this is quiet, I'm being open about it. This is in the books. There's compatibility, they grew up together, they both understand each other. And he wants to marry, he leaves his sister and gives her to some complete foreign, ajnabi, stranger. She might get divorced and there might be compatibility, no compatibility, who knows? And he goes and gets another stranger. What sense is in this? From every logical, rational, aqli point of view, the most sense is in a brother marrying a sister and this sister marrying a brother. Now we think this is yucky. You know, this is disgusting. It's disgusting. Yes, but why? Prove it logically. Somebody says, but isn't it disgusting? Well, the people who, even today, there's people who now are into incest, and there's actually, just like I normally say, people who talk about homosexuality, 60 or 70 years ago, that's how they used to think about homosexuality. Yucky, dirty. In 60 years ago, exactly this marriage within family will be like this, will change. Because the aqal, it's kind of crazy. Because when this is the God, then it's divine. There's no questions on the aqal. It makes sense. Like, that's it. You can't question it anymore. Because it's divine, according to them. Something that completely was filthy, considered to be immoral, 100 years ago, it makes absolute sense today. So, they couldn't disprove this person. Logically, they said, isn't that disgusting? He said, well, that's the creation of you thinking in your mind. Your minds are programmed to think it's dirty. My mind doesn't think it's bad. Who said? Who made the criteria of what's bad and what's disgusting? Who made that criteria? That's why there was another professor or scientist, I think, Martin Russell or someone. He actually said that there is no definition of good and evil in the world. Who made the definition of good, hasan and qubh? What's the criteria? As long as you're not committing a crime, who said this is good and this act is evil? What's the definition? He said the definition is what the society think is good. When the society think it's bad, then the same good thing becomes bad. That's the definition. It's just leave it to the people, the brains will detect. And the same brain today, like look at how crazy, the same aql right now, if someone takes alcohol consumption is considered to be okay. No problem. Drink moderately, but drink. It gives you intoxication, there's harms, everything, but still no problem. You know, everyone's drinking Friday night. The moment someone takes drugs, there's a whole war against that druggie. Arrested. Why the difference? If you think drugs are bad, then alcohol is bad. And if you think alcohol is okay, then drugs are okay. Make your mind up. But they just use their brain to think this is good because we said it's good and this one's bad because we said it's bad. What's the criteria? Well, my aqal. It's a God. God aqal sent a wahi. That this is the ruling. So this person who talked about marriage within the family, they couldn't disprove it. So someone said to him that, or that group, that does this not go against, you know, nasab, lineage being muddled up, like we need family system. He said, who said that's required? So who said that's good? I don't think, we don't need to know whose father and whose son and whose daughter, and who said we need all this. Then they said to him, well, incest creates illnesses. So he put a team to do some research, and today there's research that's been done that actually incest does not create. And there will always be two issues, and that's the second problem of the aql. Every issue that is based on aql, there'll be two opinions. If you've done media studies, what do they do? Every issue, there's a for and against. You go to BBC, they'll do a program, and they'll bring one person arguing for, they'll one person arguing against it. Every issue. And they never give you the final conclusion. Leave it to the, you know, every issue that's happening, current issue, but if you watch the news or if you're listening to the news, what will happen? They will always bring one person for, one person against. And that's how the person is trained in media studies. When he is interviewing the one for, he will be the one against. And when he's interviewing the one against, he'll become, plays like they say, the devil's advocate. He'll be against the person. But they will never give the final opinion. Why? Leave it to the viewers. You are all gods. You are all ashabul aql. You listen to his argument, you listen to his argument, whatever makes sense to your brain. If it makes sense to you, then you go with this. If that makes sense to you, you go with that. There is no criteria. Every person is a god. And everyone wants to follow his design. So this is what this person said as well. That who said lineage needs to, and also about creating incest, creating all these issues. So, I mentioned the verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did he say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ Wisdom. Wisdom. Something that has logic behind it. It is Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that tells us what is wisdom, what makes sense, what is logical, what is rational, what conforms to rationalism. And this is what I was saying, that we live in this time, and this is what I want to end on, where all these issues, those issues which, before I mention that, so the answer to that question was that modernism is good, but when it goes against divine revelation, then that modernism is bad. That's the criteria. For a Muslim, every new theory, every new concept, every new idea, every modern technology, every modern thing is subservient to divine revelation. It is under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what Allah says in the Quran as well. وَمَا كَانَ لِلْمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ When Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they've decided something, then for a man and a woman, a male and a female, وَمَا كَانَ لِلْمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ A male Muslim man or a female Muslim man, they have no choice but to accept. And this is Islam, this is submission. This is what we have to understand, that look, Islam, we are submissive to Allah. Sometimes in the name of aql and reason, we look, there are certain issues which are disagreed upon. I'm not talking about those issues. There are within reason to disagree, agree, different madhahibs, different opinions. I'm not even talking about that. I am talking about the universal principles that have been accepted by Muslims over 1444 years. From the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the majority of the Muslims, only 2-3% in every era, like the Mu'tazila came, they had power. They actually had power and control, state control, state power. They went against traditional teachings of Islam. They come in every era, but alhamdulillah, you know what happens? They get lost. You know, even today some people are saying that, look, you know, there's too much modernism and all these modern thinkers are coming with modern ideas and they're distorting Islam in the name of reforming Islam. Look, you know, non-Muslims want us to do that because Christianity has been reformed. Everything, Christianity is not like it was. It's not in its pristine form. So they think, why don't the Muslims do that as well? Everything has to, you need to reform. Islam needs reformation. No, it doesn't need reformation. They want us to do that. The Jews won't do it. They just say it. But they want Muslims to change their religion. Everything has to change. Change all the laws. From marriage laws to divorce laws. These, you know, the basics. I was saying the mainstream concepts of Islam. Mainstream. Not the ikhtilafi, you know, the difference of opinion issues. I'm talking about mainstream concepts. A woman has to cover her head, wear a hijab and wear loose clothing. There are people coming today and saying, no, this interpreting that and interpreting this. Why? Because the aql and the hawa, and young people flock behind anyone who gives you an easy opinion because it's fulfilling your desire, it's easy. It's not because it makes sense to you more, it's not that. It's just that it's more appealing because it's easier. If someone says haram and halal, I'll go for the halal, it's easier. If someone says, yeah, you can drink, someone might come with an idea and say alcohol is halal. And there are some people who've actually said, there's people who said that, you know, back in the day, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, the alcohol was made in a different way. They used to press grapes and dates, and now it's done in a very different way. And therefore, today's alcohol, using aql reason, is actually permissible. This is not the alcohol that was prohibited by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Back in the day, white pork was haram because pigs used to stay in very dirty, filthy, unhygienic places and eat all filth, and pigs were dirty. Today they are catered for, they are hygiene farms, you know, they are given, they are processed, they are given injections, so today's pork is halal. Back in the day, the music used to be the Arabs and Bedouins, their music was like this and that and this. Today's music is different, so therefore today's music is halal, it's fine, it's permissible. Back in the day, and the list goes on, people have rejected, changed, reformed, everything. There is nothing left of Islam. From penal laws to everything, everything. Gender roles, it was different that time. In Islam, Allah has made in a household the male an amir. You have to have an amir in a household. Allah just divided the job. That doesn't mean women can't work, but the job of the household on the women, this was traditionally how it has always been. The male is the breadwinner. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا. Then Allah says, قَوَّامُونَ. They are the breadwinners. They are the main. They are the maintainers of the family. The female role, the male role, gender roles. This is why our marriages in the world used to exist and last longer. Why did they use? There's many reasons why they don't last now. One of them is this mobile phone. But another reason was because society knew their roles, gender roles. A man used to play the role of the man, a woman used to play the role of the woman. We used to have a man marry the woman, now the man has become half woman, and the woman has become half man. And you've got a half woman and a half man marrying a half woman and a half man, so of course it's going to be a clash. Because the nature, sexuality, even clothing has changed. You used to have, upstairs, men clothing, female clothing, now it's unisex, and now even toilets, where was that somewhere recently? And they've got same toilets now, washroom toilets, male, female, just go together. They are actively promoting that there's no such a thing as gender, non-binary, gender fluid. It's a massive thing. Because this aqal has gone crazy. And I will tell you one thing, before I carry on, I want to finish this off. That all these, I'm not talking about these ikhtilaf issues, I'm talking about the mainstream concepts of Islam. Like hijab is a law, 5-time prayers, alcohol is prohibited, gender roles, and many other issues. Homosexuality being forbidden. Look, when we say it's not allowed in Islam, we are not being homophobic here, I'll just make it clear. Islam doesn't say we show hate towards anyone, whether that person is committing any sin. Just like someone doesn't pray Fajr Salah, we don't hate that person. A person who is engaged in homosexual activity, we don't hate that person as well. This person is also committing sin. And this person, in Islam, something which is not allowed. When we say sin, because they don't even like the term sin. Many years ago, I think 10, 12 years ago, I had a lecture once in a university, and I kept using this word, it was York University, which is up north somewhere. Sin. A Jewish man came afterwards and he said to me, I really liked your lecture and I agree with everything. Just one thing, just for future. There are some people who are sensitive. I'm a Jew, I know, with the word sin. It's a bit like crime. So just say in Islam it's not allowed when you have a non-Muslim audience. We had about 100 non-Muslims as well in that. So I took that on board. Very, very good. Because they think once you say sin, it's like you're an evil person. When we say sin, it's like it's not allowed in Islam. So we are not homophobic. We don't hate anyone. We don't go and kill people who do this, any of the any sin. But at the same time, we don't water Islam. This is where the balance is required. We are open that no, in Islam it is not allowed. We're not going to change and interpret in the name of modernism and aqal and rationalism and logical reasoning that no, times have changed and beat around the bush. No, it's not allowed, it's haram, it's sinful, it's illegal in Islam. Finish. This is what my religion says. Your religion might say something else. Why do I believe in this religion? Because this is what I believe in. You might believe in something, you have a right to believe in that. So, all these kind of issues, I'm talking about these issues which are being watered down by certain Muslims in the name of modernism, in the name of rationalism, in the name of aqal and reasoning, because they want to appease the wider community, the non-Muslims, under influence, under pressure, under whatever, whatever, whatever. So these are the type of rules I'm talking about. But I was saying that this, you have to understand this aqal. One point here, and then I'm going to end. It's so ironic, and it's ajeeb, and it's intriguing, and it makes you think that we are living in a time when people are giving aqal the most importance ever. Every every person is a God in himself or herself, like I said. You will find people today, you know, there will be feminists, hardcore feminism, where they will, you know, have some crazy ideas. The same person will be a vegan or a vegetarian and thinking any type of meat eating and eating meat and meeting. When we meet, we eat. When we meet, we eat meat. So all of this is bad. And there'll be atheists as well. They will not believe in genders. You know, like right now, you know, there's movements. They are proud. They have these pride events. Proud in being an homosexual. It's a movement. You can't even say something slightly negative. It's like it's because you are going against God. This God in the brain said it's good. So now it's blasphemy that you say you dare. It's a religion. It's a full-blown religion of atheism, feminism, and all these things put together. Go online and check. I once did research on all these young people. You know, some of them, they've turned their, you know, they've changed their gender. They don't, at least if they haven't, they don't believe in genders. So many have become gender fluid, gender free. You know, there's all these terms, transvestites, transsexuals, trans this, trans that. I forgot how many, you know, terms there are. And there's this definition and the general definition. And they will, many of them are like that. They're atheists and all of this. But at the same time, every single one more or less says, I have mental health issues. They themselves say it. Depression, do you know what is the greatest illness of current time? It's not cancer. It's not diabetes. Maybe in Asians, I don't know. Be careful about what you eat. It's not coronavirus. The greatest illness today is depression, anxiety, mental health. The ironic point is that in the era when Aql is considered to be the God and given the most importance, Allah said, I'm going to affect your Aql the most. The most ill thing is the Aql which they made it God. And that's intriguing to me. That we are living in a time where they are thinking Aql and reason is the most important thing, divine. Don't question Aql. Allah said, I will make your aql the most ill ever. And this is why in today's era, mental health is a massive issue. It's the greatest problem. You'll find all of these people who are gender fluid and gender free and trans and homosexuals and whatever. Many of them, they themselves, they all say they've got mental health. We're not saying, they say themselves, have got mental health issues. It's okay not to be okay. Don't let anyone think, you know, before it used to be just sadness. You know, before people used to feel sad. You know, sometimes they have sad days and happiness. Nowadays, sadness is, you know, like, but some people do. They have a lot of stress and anxiety and all these issues. So Aql is not divine. For us, divine is what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So modernism is good. Technology is good. Modernity is good. Innovation, bringing new things in the world is good. Moving with the times is good. Yes, we should all move with the times. People say scholars should move with the times. Yes, we do move with the times. We should. I mean, the scholars should. I'm not a scholar, but they should all move, of course, and they all do. But not at the expense of wahi and revelation. Once it's going against what was divinely sent by Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Scholars are moving with times. Some people, they just dislike scholars, and they always say they're backward. Otherwise, no scholar would be using an iPhone. Isn't that moving with the time? Of course. But that doesn't mean that we have to accept every theory that comes into existence on planet Earth, even if it goes against the Quran and Sunnah. So, this one last thing I want to end with, I know time is up, but this is really important. Just one last point. This is generally for scholars and students of knowledge and people in deen and Islam. Islam does not need a change. It doesn't need a reformation. And all these rules, we need to stick to traditional transmitted Islam. This is why we said modernism versus traditional Islam. We must stick to traditional Islam. Don't reform religion. Christianity was reformed. No longer it remains in its traditional form. Islam, and this is what they don't like. Why aren't the Muslims changing and reforming their religion? Why aren't they saying, changing the Quran? You know, this, and then in the name of ijtihad, there's this female, she calls herself a mujtahida. I'm a mujtahid. She wrote a book, The Trouble with Islam. She's a lesbian. I don't know if she calls herself a Muslim. And she challenges, oh, this is, you know, this, I don't know, these male-dominated religion that these scholars have made, and, you know, Islam needs to move and change, and I'm a mujtahid. She's a lesbian, she calls herself a Muslim, lesbian, and she's all over the news. So, it doesn't need reform. But what last point is that, yes, Islam, all these rules need to be explained in the current time in accordance with the modern times. That's very important. On one extreme, there will be certain liberal type of modern type of scholars, type of people who will pollute and reform and change and alter. It doesn't make sense. The Quran said inheritance with dhakari mithlu hadhil unthayn. The son gets two times than the daughter, you know, inheritance. But no, that goes against, you know, equality. Today's divinely, ugly understood equality, what they think is equality. Their definition of, their God Apple told them what equality was. So therefore, that needs to be changed, and this needs to be changed, and that needs to be changed, and all sorts of rules need to all be changed. On the other hand, there are some people who will accept all this traditional way, but they're explaining to you as they were sitting in a village in Pakistan in 1921. And that is also problematic. Stick to the traditional Islam, but explain it in a modern way that is digestible. After that, if the guy can't digest it, then say your uncle's got a problem. Just accept it. Aman wa sadaq. But explain it in a modern way, in a way that is easy to digest for a young person living in United Kingdom in 2022. Because some of the olden ways of explaining, they were compatible for those times. The ways of explaining can be different. The ways of explaining, as long as you get into London, you can go different ways. If you made a modern road, now use the modern road. They used to use some older A1 routes. Now you've got a nice modern motorway, M1, use that. Why are you still wanting to use the old routes? It's a nice, what's this motorway that way they call it? New modern motorways. Smart motorways. Use that now. It's got too many cameras in it. So use a modern method. And I personally, I've said this a lot with our students who study in madrasas. I always tell them about this. And actually some of the brothers also said that, there's a lot of these kind of contentious issues in Islam. Maybe do a course on this. And this is an idea I really want to do, that take 10 to 15 of these kind of issues. Like, why does, you know, a male receive two shares over a female? Why there's two with one, you know, in witnesses in marriage, why is it two women equal to one? And why is talaq, divorce, given in the hands of the man? The man gives talaq to the woman, the woman can't give talaq, talaq doesn't happen. All these contentious issues that people bring up today, all these issues that doesn't make sense to most non-Muslims and some Muslims. There's a list, 10, 15 of them. Homosexuality is one. All of them, explain them. Penal law, hudud, slavery, all these kind of things. We don't have slavery now, but when they used to be. All Islamic teachings, one by one, explain them in a modern way. And this is a course that I'm going to teach, inshallah, soon. But I'll just give you one example. I remember once I was at a place somewhere in London teaching. And I mentioned this, that, you know, this talaq, and this is an example I'm giving, and I've concluded. In Islam, who gives the divorce? The man gives the divorce. Yeah? In Islam. A sister asked this question. Said, look, can I ask you a question? It doesn't make sense to me. Why is there no equality? In Islam, there is definitely equality. There's no similarity, there's equality. But in Islam says the male and female gender are different. There's no similarity. The male doesn't get pregnant, the woman gets pregnant. They're different. The woman gives birth. They have conflated similarity and dissimilarity with equality and inequality. I can see a march in 40 years down the line in central London, women saying it's not fair, why do we get pregnant, men should get pregnant. I can see a march, it's unfair, we have to go through menstrual experience, menstruation, give some operation and an injection to men and they should have blood as well coming out from somewhere. It's not fair. Equality, this is not equality. This will happen 40 years down the line. And women are already saying that, why? They say that, why am I? That's why they have surrogates. Surrogacy. Why should I, many of them, why should I go through 9 months of burden and so much difficulty of a child that is not just my child, it's your child as well. No marriages, this is why they fight. Marriages don't, I was talking about the gender roles, because classically gender roles, people understood marriages survived. Now marriages don't survive. Everything's, people want to question everything because everyone is the God himself. So this talaq issue, this is, that's the question. In a nice way, they look, I don't understand, where's the equality? Why can't a woman give talaq? So anyway, I mean, this was a modern type of, you know, I teach in central London for many years, but so this was where we have people from all different backgrounds, sometimes some non-Muslims also come, or some people who've just accepted Islam, all different backgrounds. So anyway, you have to explain in that modern way. You can't just say, Allah said in the Quran that, you know, only the man give talaq, see you later, sister, accept it or, you know, go, bye. Accept it. I said, who told you that? I said, in Islam, no, women give talaq as well. So first, when I said that, she just went like that, straight away. Because I've heard, like, traditional Islam, only men give divorce. Men, when they say talaq, it happens. And I said, no, who told you that? She goes, no, I know one scholar and this scholar, some modern scholar, they've changed, they said in this current time it's changed. But you seem from a traditional background. So I asked you, in traditional Islam, like Hanafi, Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali, and classical traditional people, they think only men can give divorce, and that's only men give talaq. The women can't give talaq to the man, and it doesn't occur. I said, no, women give talaq as well. She said, are you sure? Traditional. I said, yeah, women give talaq as well. So all her, you know, built-in, you know, rage of feminism, and you know, for the past 10 years, suddenly all went down. So women can give, I said, classically, traditional, I'm telling you, traditional Islam, women can give divorce. Who said to you that women can't give divorce? And she calmed down, then afterwards I said, in Islam, both men and women give talaq. However, the way, the method, the manner, and the way a man gives divorce is different to the way and the method and the manner a woman gives divorce. Why is it different? Because man is different to a woman. Male and female, asked, are men and women exactly the same? I said, does your husband get pregnant? No. You know, does he get menstruation? No. You get menstruation? Yes. Are you different? Yes. You know, are you physically different to a male? Yes. Physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, emotionally, from every angle, men and women are different. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. They wrote a book on this. You should read that book, it's a good book. Men and women are different. Emotionally, psychologically, that's a different topic. But so that's why, because men and women are different, Allah gave a man a different method. They both give divorces. But the method in which a man gives divorce is different to the method in which a woman gives divorce. And then I said to her, sister, actually, I think it's unfair really, but it's fair. But I would think, if I'm looking from a man's side, I think it's unfair on men. I'd rather be on your place in this situation. Because for a man, and anyone has OCD and waswasa right now, just close your ears, please. If you've got OCD, waswasa, close your ears. Please, don't. And they're known for me 400 million times after. For a man, it's very easy for talaq. By mistake, فَلَاتٌ جِدُّهُنَّ جِدٌّ وَهَزْلُهُنَّ جِدٌّ. You just say it, talaq, and it's done. It's very easy. How many, you know, the sabr you have to have, like you get angry, but it might just come out, you might just, and then the man says, oh no, I gave the talaq, astaghfirullah. I'm ending in 2-3 minutes. The man really finds it very, very difficult because it's very easy. For a woman, talaq doesn't happen like that. How many times has your wife given you talaq and said to you after 1 hour, I love you? A woman can give 200 talaqs and then say, I love you. No problem. This is how women are a bit emotional. It's nothing, it's not a bad thing. It's the beauty of the woman is in her being emotional and being, you know, too fragile. And that's why, you know, that's the beauty. That's how a woman is, otherwise she's a man. For a man, the beauty of the woman is sometimes a woman cries and you don't know why she's crying. You ask her, why are you crying? She says, I don't know why I'm crying as well. She doesn't know why she's crying. Women sometimes say, I don't know myself. So that's how a woman is. So therefore Allah said, for a woman, you could say talaq 4 billion times, talaq will not happen. For you to get divorced, there's a procedure. It's a longer method. You have to try to get khula. If not, then you go, you know, first try to convince, then khula. If not, then you go to a Sharia council or, you know, Islamically a court, and you go there and you present your case. So it's not reactionary, emotionally just done straight away. But for a man, Allah gave, but the problem is today men have become like women. So now, that's why men, I think the rule should be the same for men as well, because men were supposed to have that suffering. They were not supposed to be like, Allah, you're a man. Be a man. And this is why Allah gave different laws for both. So anyway, this is how you explain the whole issue and they understand. InshaAllah. Sorry for going over time. I don't know about the Q&A, what's happening. But inshaAllah, I end with this. There's lots of things that could be said about this topic. The summary is, modernism is good, provided it is in accordance with divine revelation, Quran and Sunnah, the guidance of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I end with this. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله.